I'm going to ask you, if you will, to open your scriptures with me this morning to the book of John, chapter number 6, and we're going to be looking for a few moments this morning at John chapter number 6, and the title of the message is, I am the bread. If you brought your Bibles with you this morning, could you lift them up? iPads, iPhones, books, it's always good to see those things. And if you don't have a Bible with you, I encourage you, there's some up here on the front pew, and you may find some in the back of your pew, to open it up to the book of John, chapter number 6. And I'm going to be reading this morning out of the New King James Translation. And as we look at the text this morning, it's kind of following along our series that I've been preaching, or that we've been looking at in God's Word for the last couple of weeks. As you know, there are many I am's that the Apostle John wrote about what Christ had said. He said, I am the true vine in John 15:1. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life in John 14:6. I am the resurrection and life in John 11:25. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said about himself in John 10:11. I am the door of the sheep in John 10:7. I am the light of the world, we find in John 8:12. And this morning, as we look at the last one, it is, I am the bread. Now, John is trying to share the thought with everybody that's reading this, that Jesus is the divine God wrapped in human flesh. That he's not some mere spirit, that he just wasn't a person who died for the sins of the world, but the Logos, the Word, became flesh. God himself became human flesh to go to the cross of Calvary, to lay down his life, to resurrect in newness of life, and to give us this peace that passes all understanding. Jesus is the 100% God-man. And as he writes to record through the Holy Spirit, he records Jesus as saying, I am the bread. Now, chapter number 6 has got a lot to do with bread. Now, I'm going to read here in just a moment, but the first 14 verses of John chapter 6 talking about bread and fish. Many of you already know by me saying that what the story is. There wasn't enough food to feed everyone. Jesus said that there were only, you know, let's feed the crowd that is here with us. And he said, we only have a couple fish. And they said, we only have a couple of barley loaves of bread. Jesus prayed over it, gave thanks, passed it out to the multitude that was there. When they were finished, they actually collected back more than what they had given out. And as they began to consume this, they enjoyed that, the temporary satisfaction of being fed. You know, we like to be fed, amen? I mean, it's a part of our human nature. One of the things we like to do, or we should do, is drink lots of water, and we like to eat. It's not only eating as a part of just sustaining our physical well-being, but, you know, it's also a part of fellowship. I don't know what it is, but in our culture, most of the time, whenever we get together, we say, let's eat lunch somewhere, and it doesn't care if it's your enemy, they're in, right? You know, they're going to show up. You may not get along with your family, but everybody comes to Thanksgiving, am I right? So it's because, you know, there's eating involved. So bread was a very important part of the lifestyle and the culture. It was in their day, too. It was a main product to be consumed by many, many people. It stayed well. It could be easily made. And Jesus gave them bread and fish, and they were fine. They were good. But Jesus took off later on in the evening and sailed or took the little John boat across the lake and settled on the other side. Well, people had heard about this great miracle being performed and still wanting some more what? Bread and something to drink, showed back up the next day, and they came looking for Jesus. And it builds up to lead us to what Jesus said in the text of Scripture in John 35. And he said, Jesus said to them, I am the bread, the life. Who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I want you to Let me read to you the following verses found in 26 when these people showed back up again for some more bread. Listen to what he says. Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you all ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." And they said to him, "What shall we do? What we do may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him and he who sent me." Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then?" I mean, they were looking for some more miracles. "That we may see and believe you. What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert." Now pay close attention here. "Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Lord, give us bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe, and that the Father gives me will to come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all who has been given me I should lose nothing, but should raise up on the last day." Verse 40. "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day." First of all, we need to understand that the difference between a simile and a metaphor. I never got them right. A simile is when you use the word like, if I made the statement, "I am like iron." See that, Jim? Iron. That is a simile. Leon is like a marshmallow. That is a simile. A metaphor is when something directly equates to that certain thing they're talking about. Jesus said, "I am the bread." Now, Jesus really wasn't a piece of bread, but he equates equality to him and the bread. Does that make sense? So in trying to understand the interpretation, is Jesus is not saying he's like bread. He's saying, "I am the bread." He is equating himself as the bread. And as we read the text this morning and understanding it, that people had showed up and they wanted some bread. They wanted more bread. They wanted to be full. They wanted to take care of that temporary thing. And Jesus used this as a segue, as an introduction. And it's so great how God does this, to bring them to a point. And that is Jesus saying, "I am the bread of life." And there's three points really easily understood from this text. The first one was, and here it is, ready? Point number one, bread was given from God and not from Moses. Do you see that? Bread was given from God and not from Moses. Isn't that what Jesus said? Because they misquoted out of context what had happened. They said, "Moses brought us bread or manna from heaven." Jesus said to them in response, he said, "Moses didn't bring you manna from heaven. God brought you manna from heaven." Now, Jesus knew that because, listen, my friend, before he was born in the manger, he was there. Amen? He knew what had happened. He knew what had taken place. And he knew that Moses got caught up in the same kind of thing. If you remember over in the book of Exodus 17, when they touched the rock and brought water from it in the desert of Zin. And later on, Moses said, "Should I bring water from the rock again?" And was that a great sin? Yes, because Moses didn't bring water from the rock. Who did? God brought water from the rock. We can never misinterpret who brought the manna from heaven. And Jesus is trying to tell the people, it was not Moses who brought me here, as he did not bring the manna here, but it is God who has sent me here. Listen to what Jesus is trying to tell the people there. The glory goes to the Father, not to the instrument. Does that make sense? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. The Father has sent me directly to you. But they were all caught up in the person of Moses. But God sent the bread. And to think about this for a moment. Christianity did not bring Jesus Christ to the earth. God did. Billy Graham did not bring Jesus Christ to the earth. God did. Dr. Charles Stanley, as much as I respect him, did not bring Jesus Christ to the earth. God did. Fred Luter did not bring Jesus Christ to the earth. God did. John Hagee did not bring Christ to the earth. God did. Listen, J.D. Moore did not bring Christ to the earth. God did. We are only instruments of talking about the manna, the bread of life, that has been brought to the face of the earth. Now listen to me well. Jesus Christ came by the will. Did you see that in the scriptures in this morning? By the will of who? By the will of the Father. We've got to get this correct, dear friends, because there's no man on the face of the earth that deserves the credit for Christ coming, because he came for all. And all we do as preachers and evangelists and hopefully you, as you tell other people about Christ, you're not bringing Christ to the earth, my friend. He's already come. And he died for our sins. But listen again, he is coming back. I'm always surprised and somewhat tickled when I see some of the advertisement on the side of the road as I drive down the streets and byways in America, to see churches advertised with the face of the preacher on the side of the billboard. I mean, I'm like, who would do that? Or people who would give out brochures and say, the Reverend such and such preaches here. You know, that turns me away. I'm like, I don't care. That's not what turns me on about Christianity. Or someone hands me a card and it's got a big smile and a big grasping hand reaching out to me from some pastor, preacher, or bishop. Actually, it makes me feel ashamed that someone would think in boldness and instead of humility that they get to share about the bread that came to the earth. See, it's not about Moses. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. I remember several years ago while pastoring in Texas, someone had told me, she was from another denomination, and she said, you Baptists, you know, I don't know that I can stand it. She said, I've been there about six times, about 6 weeks already, and all you guys are singing about blood, blood, blood. Nothing but the blood and the blood of Jesus, and the redemption came through the blood. And she said, you make it sound real bloody. And I told her, I said, Baptist or not, let me just say this. Jesus came and shed his blood, and that's what it's all about. We cannot get around the fact that it was a bloody situation that took place when God sent by his will Jesus Christ to the cross, and he was obedient to the death of the cross to die a bloody death so that the blood would be shed for the remission of sins for all of mankind. It is a bloody thing. But thank be to God, we've got also the promise of the resurrection. Amen? I mean, we have to focus on the right thing. These people were focused on the wrong thing. See, it's not about Moses. It's not about the preacher. Not about the Sunday school teacher. It's all about the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. The second point that Jesus tries to make to these people that are looking for just regular bread Bread brings life. Not only was bread given from God and not Moses, but bread gives or brings life. As you remember the story of manna that came down, they were out in the desert of Zin, and they wanted bread, or they wanted to eat, and God brought this manna from heaven. Did you know that manna was one of the things that was kept in the ark in a jar? That's good preserving. And not only that, but it tasted like honey and what else? Coriander seeds. I mean, it was very, very good. And I mean, they must have liked it because they ate it for a long time, but it still didn't keep them complaining from leftovers for years to come. But God supplied it because it brought life to them. And Jesus tried to tell them in the scriptures, he said, you know, look at verse 27 real quick. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Listen to the same verse as I read it out of the New Living Translation. It says this, as Jesus was speaking. So don't be concerned about perishable things like food, but spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of God or the Son of Man can give you. Now listen to this. For God the Father has given me the seal of approval. I like that. I like that translation. God the Father has given me the seal of approval. How many of you remember the Good Housekeeping seal? Okay, I've seen it, you know, and my wife and I were painting yesterday, and we were listening to commercials from Hank Williams. We kind of like country music, and we were listening to the old commercials from as Hank Williams did live radio, and they talked about Mother's Flower and how it was a seal of approval by Hank Williams. And if you didn't like it, you could send back your receipt to Hank Williams, and Hank Williams himself would reimburse you back your money. But you would love it so much, he'd never have to ever send back the money. The seal of approval. That means a lot when someone's willing to back their product, doesn't it? When Good Housekeeping's willing to back their product. Let me tell you, my friend, God the Father is willing to back his product, Jesus Christ. He gives the seal of approval because he brings eternal life. See, what these people were looking for was something that brought temporary sustainment. How many of you eat at least more than one meal a day? And it's because usually your breakfast is a little skimpy and by lunchtime you're ready to do what? Eat. And then we usually or generally do what? Overeat because we are hungry. Do you get a supper normally too? Even though some of us as we get older, it's just a bowl of cereal. It's because we are never satisfied. You know, I'll go to bed, and when I go to bed, you know what I'm thinking sometimes? What's for breakfast? You know, I'm blessed because Colleen will get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and make all the breakfast for me. Hearing me, Jimmy? And draw my bath water and actually dress me before I get out of bed. Even I'm not even awake. She just does all it. And then really after the alarm goes off, it's all been a night, you know, a dream. Wasn't true. But you know, we look forward to that breakfast. We look forward. We're looking, and some people are so consumed that after they finish eating, they're looking forward to the next meal. Well, this is what these people were doing. And Jesus said, that doesn't satisfy. Those things do not satisfy. Verse 35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. See, Jesus is giving a comparison. Bread brings life in the physical body on earth, but Jesus said, I bring for eternity satisfaction, 100% guaranteed seal of approval by who? God the Father. Isn't that what Jesus said? See, he brings life. See, the bread satisfies. But Jesus, being the eternal bread, satisfies forever and ever and ever and ever. See, Moses didn't bring the bread, God did. And the second point is that the bread brings life. So many people are looking for quick fixes for satisfaction and happiness on this earth, even Christians. I was talking to a pastor the other day who was sharing with me, he's been in his church over a year now, and they've lost their, over the honeymoon. You know what the honeymoon period is, right? Everybody brings you stuff the first year, and then everybody gives you a bunch of stuff after that. So, it's things change after that, and during that honeymoon period. And so many people are not satisfied, especially, you know, those in the Christian community. And the lost world does what the lost world does. You've heard me say that before. But Christians ought to be the people that be the most satisfied people in the world. I asked the pastor, I said, "Dear Pastor Jim, what seems to be some of the problems that you're experiencing?" He said, "People come to me and say, if you don't have this, I'm going to the church up around the corner. And you don't have this for my children, I'm going to go over there somewhere else. Or, and you know, our congregation doesn't sing contemporary music, or our congregation doesn't sing out of the old hymnal, or our congregation doesn't wear Hawaiian shirts. This one does. Or our congregation doesn't wear neckties. Or our congregation, blah 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 blah." The most dissatisfied people in the world, in America, we are spoiled rotten. We truly are. We have forgot where we found our bread and what the bread is all about. We're sitting at a buffet table full of everything unimaginable, from green vines to screens to impromptu songs and great music and all the rest of it. And we have forgotten all about the main course, the main sustenance for the Christian living. And that is the bread of life, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. I felt bad for Jim. Jim wants to get out of the ministry. Jim wants to give up. He said about every 6 months he thinks there's got to be something else to do besides pastoring and hearing people whine and cry about the trivial stuff going on within the congregation. So, what do? We lift up the bread. And you know, as we read this morning, the persecuted church, as we talked about God teaching us to pray in the right way, I think what we're seeing across America and our culture is driving Christians back to the bread. Because the answer is not in the government. Certainly not when they want males and females using the same restroom. What in the world are people thinking? And we get all caught up in the smoke screen of politics and culture and all the rest of it. And my friend, we are driven away from what we're all about. We're all about the bread. The bread of everlasting life. And that's where our sustenance comes from. That's where our everlasting life comes from. I talked with a soldier this morning. I got a call. He's, you know, early this morning. He's had some issues with a girlfriend. He hit her with a suitcase, and now she wants to break up with him. And, you know, I'm pretty straightforward. That's why I like being a chaplain. I said, "If you hit me with a suitcase, I'd beat you all over the street." I mean, you know, and he said, "Well, she's mad at me." I said, "Well, she ought to be mad. She ought to leave you. Good. She ought to be all over with." But, you know, this little thing, this thing, you know, he's not satisfied. Life, he's missing out on happiness. And I asked, "Are you thinking about harming yourself?" "Yeah, suicide's passed through my mind." I'm like, "What? How have we gotten from there to here so fast? With a whole generation. Did you know suicide is now on, and it was in the, on 22 April, an article was written in the Washington Post about how suicide is taking the lives of our young people. It's one of the fastest growing epidemics in America. We're seeing it reflected in our military service. We're seeing it reflected in our society. And you know why? Because no one's ever satisfied. And I want to tell you, listen, bread eaters, that we ought to be like a beggar telling one beggar where we found our loaf of bread. Because they're hungry. That bread of life is Jesus Christ. He gives satisfaction, not only on earth, but through all eternity. Whoever comes to him, according to the scriptures, will have everlasting life, will never thirst, will never hunger again. He completely satisfies. Now you got to remember, Jesus said that he was the bread from the Father given to men. And see, remember, let me bring this back to you again. This is a metaphor, not a simile. He's not like the bread. He is the bread of life. He is not like the bread, now listen to me, that we consume at the Lord's Supper table. And this is the difference between some denominations and Baptists. We do not believe that that bread that you consume is Jesus. That's called transubstantiation. And that's the big word for it. And that's why, and I'm not picking on my Catholic friends, I'm just telling you, that's why when the priest takes of the bread that he puts a plate underneath his mouth when they consume it, as so the flesh of Christ, because they believe it transforms into the fresh flesh of Christ, the bread, when it falls from their mouth, if it fell out, it would not hit the floor. It is transubstantiated into the bread. Now, I want to tell you, Christian doctrine, our faith, believes that is only a simile, not a meta. It is not the literal flesh of Jesus Christ. There is no salvation in it. You could eat, I don't know how much, Debbie, do you make the bread? Debbie is the baker. Thank God for the baker, amen? I'd like to eat some eclairs if you ever come up with any of those, or pecan pie, if you just so happen to have some lying around this week, just let me know. But anyway, you know, I like the bakers, but listen, she could bake 5,000 loaves, and we could all sit here and eat them. It will not give you salvation. It will give you diabetes, high carbs. And I can tell you right now, as a diabetic, carbs are not my friend. Bread is not my friend. But listen, you can eat all you want. It will not give you salvation. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you're trusting in this for your salvation, you are trusting in the wrong thing. Because Jesus said this. He said, now listen to me again. For I have not come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up on the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son, and listen, believes in me, or believes in him, may have what? Everlasting life. And I will raise him up on the last day. The bread is not the flesh of Christ. Christ is pointing to himself as the way of salvation. I am pointing to Christ as the way of salvation. Do you have Christ as your Savior? If you've trusted in anything else other than Christ, my friend, you are eternally lost this morning. You say, whoa, you're judging. No, I'm telling you what the scriptures clearly state. If you do not have Christ, the bread of life, as your personal Savior, you're eternally lost. That is the point that Jesus is making when he says, I am the bread of life. Do you know him today? Do you know him today? Do you worship God the Father through Jesus Christ, the bread of life, today? That's what it's all about. We don't praise the baker. We thank God for the Father who sent the bread of life to us. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, as we see in your word, you were freely given to us. And you give us everlasting life. You provide for us sustainment, not only on this earth, but the hereafter. Lord, I thank you so much that I personally know you as my bread of life. And I ask you to forgive me when I get caught up in all types of other things that are on the buffet table, when I need to be looking at you, the author and finisher of my faith. Help me, O Lord, to be the person, the beggar that tells the other beggar where I found my loaf of bread. Father, I pray for our congregation this morning as the under-shepherd, that we'll not go and feast on those things of the world, but that we will feast on you, that we'll put our energy into you, because you have the seal of approval from the Heavenly Father. Help us to focus on the right things. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your everlasting mercy. Thank you that your grace meets our sin and trumps our sin. Thank you for being so kind and loving and gentle. Thank you for being patient with us. Thank you for your written word, that it may encourage us as we walk on this face of this earth. Father, we thank you and praise your name. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.